One of my favorite parts of pastoral ministry is being with people in their final days before they pass on. Going to the hospital and sitting with them or with their loved ones and talking about their life and the legacy that they are about to leave behind. One of the things that I've noticed in working with people and talking with people is it seems that we want to be remembered when we're gone in some way. We want to know that we have shaped the world, that we have made a mark on the world, that we have made an impact while we are here. And it seems that as people, we do everything in our power to memorialize our lives in some way. If you drive by a cemetery, what do you see? Tombstones, right? We see monuments with people's names. And years ago, the bigger the monument, right, the more money somebody probably had. We name buildings after people. We put names on the sides of ships and elevators and benches and even stained glass windows in our churches. We fill photo albums with pictures of those that we love so that we can remember them, writing their names on the back and the date so that we know what age they were and what they were doing. We even name our children after ourselves so that we can somehow live on through generation after generation. But for many of us, this is so much more than simply being remembered. It's about feeling like we really did something with our lives, that our lives had meaning and purpose. We want to leave a legacy. In Jesus' final words to his disciples, before his betrayal, before his arrest and his crucifixion, he leaves some final words. In the past 3 weeks, we've been looking through these chapters in John, chapters 13 through 17, which we call Jesus' farewell discourse, his final words to his friends. And so he goes through this long dialogue with them, telling them the most meaningful things that he can think of so that they might remember. And after he's finished, he turns to God the Father. And he offers this prayer that Jake read for us just a moment ago. And he says to God, "Hey, I want you to remember these guys that have been with me." But then he says, "I ask this not only on behalf of them, not only on behalf of my 12 best friends that I've had throughout this journey in my life, but I also ask it on behalf of those who might believe in me through the words that they speak. And I want them to be unified. God, you and me, we're one," Jesus says. "We are unified together. And that's my desire for the world." This is Jesus' legacy for us. His story, his word, the things that he has shared with his disciples, the things he has taught, the miracles that he has performed, the people that he has healed, those he has fed. This is Jesus' legacy. It's contained in four brief chapters in our Bible, right? The Gospels. This is what Jesus wants to leave to us, and he wants to do it for one specific purpose, so that we might be unified in love. That's a really simple message, but it's really hard to accomplish. From the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, God creates this perfect world, right? And he places his first two people in a garden. And what do? They mess it all up, right? They take the most beautiful thing that could have been created. It's like a child when you build a block tower. And what do? They kick it down. Yeah, right? That's kind of what Adam and Eve did in the beginning. And they started to tear apart that relationship between them. And then later in Genesis, we hear about the Tower of Babel, right? They were building this tower to God. And it was destroyed, and all the people started speaking different languages, so they couldn't communicate with one another. Over and over and over again in the Old Testament, we hear about people breaking apart and dividing amongst themselves. And then Jesus comes. And according to John, his purpose in doing that is so that we can be reconciled, so that we might come back together, so that we might be one. This is the legacy that Jesus leaves for us. In 2010, this guy, his name was Todd Burpo, he published a book. Did anybody read a book by him, 2010? Are you knowing what I'm talking about? Okay. And he recalled the story of his son's near-death experience. And it quickly made the New York Times best-selling list. And then eventually it became a full-length film, right? What, like 4 years ago-ish? We've probably heard the story, Heaven is for Real, right? I saw several hands that have read that book. It seemed that when this was written and then became a movie, every Sunday school class had its hands on this new captivating read. And so I wondered, when I saw it come out, why was this so popular? What spawned its success? And I think there's a lot behind it, but one of the reasons that I speculate, which has been true throughout the history of the church, is that one, we as humans like to prove the factuality and certainty of our faith. This story gives us a glimpse into heaven, and it proves to us that heaven is for real, right? And second, it's to make sense of what happens after we die. What's on the other side? What does it really look like? We get so many images in the Bible, but it's really hard to pin down. Scholars throughout history have been trying to answer this question, what is heaven like? And it's a question that we ask ourselves often. And these are valid and meaningful and serious questions. But sometimes I think the church has taken the hereafter and making it more important than what happens here and now. In Jesus' farewell discourse, he talks a lot about where he is going. But his legacy for his disciples is not for them to do nothing and imagine heaven, right? His legacy for them is to go out and do work. How many of you are familiar with the liturgical calendar? Some of you? Okay, so there's like the normal calendar that we look at from January to December, where we have all of these holidays like Mother's Day and Memorial Day and Independence Day. But the liturgical calendar is a calendar of the cycle of the church year. And this past Thursday was a holiday in the life of the church called Ascension. Have you heard of that one before? Okay, so after Jesus walks with his disciples here on earth, he is crucified, died, and buried. After 3 days, he rises again. And then he spends some time on earth with his disciples. And we've spent time together looking at some of those scripture passages, right? He ate on the beach with them. He met them on the road to Emmaus. He did all sorts of things with them. And then finally, his final act in Luke's gospel is to ascend to the Father. Now, this Thursday happens after resurrection, but before Pentecost, right? Which is next Sunday that Jim's going to preach about, the birthday of the church, which starts in Acts. But if Thursday is the day where he ascended, and next Sunday is the day of the sending of the Spirit, this Sunday, this season between Thursday and next week, is a time in which we take a moment and say, Jesus isn't here. Jesus has ascended, the Spirit has yet to come, and we feel this sense of loss and absence and waiting. I once heard a pastor describe church people some church people as what she calls airport terminal people. Have you ever been to an airport and had a long layover? What do you notice people are doing? They're waiting, right? They are sitting around, they're grabbing a bite to eat, they're getting a magazine, they're playing on their phone or their tablet, or they're sleeping on the floor. But essentially, they're just sitting around waiting. They're waiting for their next connecting flight. And airport terminal church people are similar to that. They sit around and they wait. They're waiting for their connecting flight to heaven. They're waiting for what's on the next side. And Jesus tells us this is not who we are called to be. Because while Jesus isn't here on Ascension Sunday, we still have work to do. Because Jesus has gone before us into a new place. He has hopped on the plane to the next place. But instead of sitting around waiting, we are called to do something. I want to read for you from Luke's Gospel. We are going to read chapter 24 if you have a Bible with you. If not, you can listen. And I'm going to read verses 44 through 53. It says this, "Then he said to them," this is Jesus talking to his disciples, "these are my words that I spoke to you while I was with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah will suffer and will rise again on the third day. And that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of all of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up to heaven. And they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God." This is the word of God for the people of God. This ascension story reminds us of our call to go out and to do work. John reminds us that Jesus' legacy for us, what he leaves behind, is his story. A story that we are called to go out and tell. And one of the greatest legacies that Jesus left is all of us. We are descendants, right? We are children of God. We are not only brothers and sisters in Christ, we are brothers and sisters with Christ. We are a part of this huge family that spans across state lines, across oceans and countries, that reaches around the whole of the earth. And as we think about the legacy we want to leave behind, I think it should be similar to Jesus. To go out and to tell of the greatest story ever known, the story of him. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, I thank you for this morning and this day of being able to share the story of Jesus Christ. God, this is our fundamental mission in the world, to tell people about you. God, you have transformed our lives in so many ways. Sometimes we often forget the work that you do. But God, on this day, let us be reminded of you and your great work. And let us carry you with us wherever we might go. We pray this in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.